territories bill, because it's going to, I suppose, affect how Ireland is viewed. It's also going to signal what kind of a principled stance Ireland is going to take, and how that will go down in amongst European and US audiences may not be the same as how it goes down amongst an Irish audience. So to you first, Regina Doherty, on this. I mean, there's been cross-party support for an occupied territories bill, at the very least. It should be said that the text of the current one that's before the Dáil does not mention Israel by name. It's in its provisions would cover Morocco's occupation of Western Sahara, or indeed Russia's occupation of Crimea and the Donbass as well. But when it comes to explaining Ireland's case in Europe, where it'll need to try and galvanise greater support within the group that you sit in the European Parliament, the European People's Party, of which Ursula von der Leyen was also a member, how's that going down?
So the first thing can I say to you is that I think we should pass it now. It's not in the format that it currently stands, and there's new amendments obviously being drafted by the Attorney General's office, and we await to see them. But I think we should pass it, not because it's going to have a massive impact on the economy of Israel, but because of the real symbol and the symbolic statement that it makes to the world. But I also think we need to be honest with people in the impact that it is going to have on Irish business and the ramifications it'll have for American companies in Ireland and how they start to treat us, and maybe how the Americans start to treat us.
What do you believe those to be?
Well, to answer your question directly about how it fits in my party, I would tell you that the vast majority of the people in my party cannot understand Ireland's stance on supporting Palestine in any way, shape or form. And they're struggling to try and find historical reasons as to, you know, what might be shaping, you know, our views. And is it intergenerational, you know, dislike or hatred? It's nonsense.
They didn't read the UN Charter.
They don't understand us at all, honest to God.
And
well, before I got there, I have to be honest with you, I didn't really understand their reaction. Now, sitting and talking to colleagues from Austria, from Poland, from Germany, OK, their reaction is a lot more nuanced than it would have appeared before I landed in Europe or in Brussels in June. But I still don't fully understand their vehemence and how strong of their views that they hold can be sustainable or even just humane. But they genuinely do not understand why we are going out on such a limb, why we are potentially going to damage not only our reputation internationally, but our economic stance internationally. And I think it's fundamentally very easy for me to say what's wrong. What's going on in Palestine at the moment is apparent. It's wrong. On any and every level, no matter how small or how big a level that you actually try and, you know, describe what's going on in Palestine, or in some cases for some people to justify it, there's no justification. And if a human being can't see what's wrong and what's going wrong and being aided and abetted by, you know, certain political, geopolitical influences, well, then I just don't understand.
But I suppose
it is going to impact us negatively,
there's no doubt.
You
have no doubt about that, do you?
No doubt.
OK. Lynn Boylan, I mean, Regina Doherty agrees with the principle of passing the bill. She's in support of its aims. But she's saying that Ireland should be clear-eyed that in establishing this principle, there will be consequences. I mean, do you agree with that?
I think there's consequences if you don't, because we have both a moral and a legal obligation to pass the Occupied Territories Bill in the absence of the EU taking action. So while we've long called for the Occupied Territories Bill to be passed, and Sinn Féin will use its the first week of the Dáil business to further the Occupied Territories Bill, the EU should be doing this. The EU should be ceasing trade with Israel. Commissioner McGrath should be ending the adequacy agreement on GDPR with Israel. Every single measure that could be taken should be taken by the EU for a legal reason, because we now have the ICJ, the ICCC, numerous organisations, the UN, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, Oxfam, all of these organisations that are highly respected saying genocide is taking place and the world needs to stop, or else you are complicit in that genocide. So it's the absence of action where I think there are consequences for Ireland in the future if we don't.
The ICC and the ICJ haven't made that determination. Those independent human rights organisations have.
Independent organisations have, but the ICJ has ruled that there's the premises there for genocide to be taking place, and that countries need to do everything to prevent that from happening. That means not arming Israel. That means not benefiting Israel's economy. The ICC ruling is to arrest. There's an international arrest warrant out, and what we're seeing is the Israeli government trying to undermine international law and every respected international multilateral institution. And it is a bit hypocritical then if we're, you know, to hold Russia to account or to hold other countries to account. We are really damaging the EU's credibility and also damaging just international law in general if we do not stand up and take this action against Israel.
Okay. Michael McNamara, do you think that the legal ruling of the ICJ about the legality of the Israeli settlements in the occupied territories and the illegality of the occupation itself will hold any sway in Ireland advancing its case in Europe, for example, on reviewing the human rights clauses in the Israel Association Agreement, or I suppose on this specific point, protecting itself and providing diplomatic cover when arguing why it is passing the Occupied Territories Bill?
I don't, unfortunately. I mean, I think support for Israel is very entrenched across Europe in many member states, in particular some larger member states, for different reasons, some of them historic, some of them current, to do with trade and, you know, populations, having a large Jewish population, for example, in their state, or a large population of dual passport holders. I'm not convinced that the Occupied Territories Bill will be passed. I mean, I think if the government wanted to pass the Occupied Territories Bill, it would have passed it before the election. So I'm not convinced that it will be passed. Do I think it should be passed?
Do you support it?
I do, yeah. I do, but I think there are consequences and we need to be very aware of that.
What do you think they are?
I mean, I think this charge of anti-Semitism is wrong, but I think it's very dangerous. I think it could lead to sanctions. It certainly will lead to, I mean, obviously Israel is a very important trading partner for the United States and Europe in terms of the high-tech economy, in terms of developing AI.
There are more Israeli companies listed on the NASDAQ than there are from the entirety of Europe, as one statistic in terms of the economic links there.
Yes, and I mean, you know, again, this Europe falling behind in terms of technology and AI and all of that is a real fear. I think it's likely to further that. I think decision makers will be affected by it. But I don't think it's going to be passed. I simply don't see what prevented the government passing it before the election if they wanted to pass it. And nothing has changed between then and now other than we've had an election. It was arguably the support for it. As opposed to Palestinian statehood, which is an entirely different matter, but the support. Okay.
But just for that, you are in favour of its passage, but you think Irish people should be clear-eyed about what the consequences
I think there will be economic consequences. There will be trade consequences. That's just my view. I think there are no. I mean, we're already under pressure, I think, as a country in terms of how we're responding to the multinationals that are based here. In terms of their requirement to build data centres, in terms of working, refusing to try to work with them in terms of developing energy. I mean, you know, the nascent state worked with Siemens to develop energy that the state needed. These data centres do need energy. Obviously, the grid doesn't have it, but there seems to be no willingness to work
with these
companies.
So you think that's another source of pressure. Billy Keller, in terms of dealing with your own colleagues in the Renew group, do you come across similar resistance to that encountered by Regina Doherty within the EPP when you're explaining Ireland's position? Do you think there'd be any further support for a stance like Ireland's, were it to pass this and were it to try and make further efforts to have that association agreement progressed?
No, I don't. Tragically, I think that it's almost institutionalised in Europe, being truthful in the Commission right across, in the Council as well, and Parliament, whereby this huge hostility to any move at all, even in the context of recognition of Palestine itself. When we raised the issue of review of the Israeli-EU Trade Association Agreement, huge hostility to any review of that. You saw the issue with regard to Ursula von der Leyen visiting Israel after the 7th of October attacks in 2023.
I suppose the issue isn't so much that she visited as what she said when she visited.
Yes, but I was going to say, and what she said when she visited, this unilateral support, this unequivocal support for Israel, not holding them to account or saying that they will be held to account if they go above and beyond international law, beyond basic decency, beyond humanitarian law. And on any matrix, Israel has acted well beyond that, and there will be no sanctions. Europe simply will not act.
So your assessment basically is that Ireland is going to continue to be a lone voice, if a principled one, on this, is it?
Well, We're not a lone voice because, I mean, we're not a lone voice. I mean, other countries have supported the two-state solution. They have recognised Palestine. So other states have acted that way. But the general principle of getting the European Union collectively to address the issue around trade sanctions in terms of the occupied territories and reviewing the trade association agreement with Israel simply will not happen. That is my assessment, no matter how often we raise it. And we have raised it on numerous occasions.
Do you see,
that's why I didn't support Ursula von der Leyen as president of the commission the last time round.
Do you see the bill? Sorry, before you come in, Boyle, do you see the bill being passed? Michael McNamara has cast some doubt on it. Do you see it being passed?
I hope so. I believe so. I mean, look, doing what's right sometimes comes at a cost, and it will have an impact on the state. There's no point in us saying otherwise. And the Irish people and the government must be aware of that as well when they are acting. But doing the right thing sometimes comes at a cost and does have an impact. But we have to continue to voice what we believe in.
I actually believe that Ireland taking that step will allow other countries to then follow in suit. And I think that that's where the leadership has to be shown by Ireland. It has to take that position. As I said, it morally should be doing it as well as legally should be doing it.
Is there a desire?
So you've got Spain, Portugal, Slovenia. There are other countries. Belgium at a federal level have looked at introducing similar types of laws. But everybody's waiting. Anti-Semitism has been weaponised, and MEPs will tell you that they feel that they can't speak up against Israel for fear of being called an anti-Semite. And it's really important that we fight back against that, because anti-Semitism is a very real thing. It's something that's very serious and needs to be combated, like all other forms of racism and discrimination. But we cannot allow a Netanyahu government exploit the word anti-Semitism and to have a chilling impact across the world. And secondly, the key thing that's been told, I mean, I'm the chair of the Palestinian delegation, and we're getting regular briefings from on the ground. And the one thing we're being told is that the EU's credibility is on the floor. It's on the floor among the Palestinian people. It's on the floor in Latin America, because people are looking around and going, hang on a second, you set yourself up as this sort of paragon of human rights and a peace project, and who are you to go out now and lecture to the rest of the world about complying with human rights in any trade agreement when you're looking at what's happening in Palestine? So there's an economic issue there for the EU as well as a diplomatic issue, that we have to do the right thing, because otherwise we're all going to be impacted if international law falls apart.
There is a difference between the Occupied Territories Bill and the review of the EU-Israeli Trade Association Agreement. They're two very distinct things. And I mean, the European Commission could immediately act on the Israeli-EU Trade Association Agreement.
They could immediately act.
Yeah. And they don't, because simply do not have the capacity.
But just on that specific point,
the EU Commission has the ability to initiate that discussion. But they have the ability to do it, and they will be found complicit in the future when all of this comes to the courts.
There is one area where that distinction may not be made, because, as you know, if the point you're making, Billy Keller, is that the Occupied Territories Bill targets specifically occupied territories and illegal settlements on occupied territories and goods produced there. Regina Doherty, last time the Trump administration was in power, they recognised the occupation of the Golan Heights. They believe that is now Israel proper. So from an Irish diplomatic point of view, trying to say, well, we're only targeting the lands that are illegally occupied according to the International Court of Justice, they don't share that analysis. No. They see that as a boycott of Israel proper.
I disagree with Lynn only on this point. And I really do believe, and I don't know, I'm not sure why the gents don't think the Occupied Bill will be passed, because I do think it'll be passed.
I didn't say it wouldn't be passed.
Oh, sorry, I thought you did. Apologies. I do think it'll be passed. I think the will is there from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to draft the necessary amendments arising from the ICJ ruling, and I think it will be passed. But be absolutely clear, we will be isolated in Europe. There'll be no Spain or Portugal or Belgium standing behind us. We will be isolated in Europe. We will be isolated diplomatically with America, and I absolutely expect ramifications. And I think what we need to be honest with the Irish people is to lay those clearly out as to what they're going to be.
But Michael McNamara, in another sphere, in the UN General Assembly, there might be benefits from Ireland taking that position.
And okay, if we're more popular, if our diplomatic positions are applauded in the UN General Assembly, or if we if our ambassadors there are more warmly greeted by their colleagues, what practical benefit is that going to be to people in Ireland if the economy starts? I mean, I'm just saying there are consequences. I'm not disagreeing with passing it. I think if we've long sort of said that we stand up for rule of law and human rights, it's been a foundation of our foreign policy since Aiken, and I think we have to do it, but I think there will be consequences, okay. And I'm not entirely sure that being more popular at the General Assembly really matters very much.
All right, we're going to move on, and we're going to